Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Aki, how are you doing?
Fantastically. And you?
I'm doing wonder. It smells weird in here. Do you smell that?
Yeah.
Smells like balls, which means only one thing. It is time for Ball Squad. Hit the music.
Ball Squad, Ball Squad. Shoot for the skill shot, it's a house ball. Simulator, man is the sin. Show with the Milky Boy, sandwich the U buffet. Ball Squad, Ball Squad. With a Ball Squad.
Yes, it is time for Ball Squad. It has been a while, but Grant is here. Grant, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm ready to talk.
And the one.
I'm ready for the ball talk.
The
ball
only talk. Mel Kirk of Zen Studios is back on the show. Mel, how are you doing?
Hey guys, I am good. It's been way, way, way too long.
So it has been too long.
Talk with you.
We got to know, how are you doing? How's it been? It's been a couple of years since you've been on. How are you doing? How are you feeling?
I'm doing well. It has been chaotic and crazy. I think the whole pandemic went by during the time we didn't talk. Zen was acquired. During all this time, we've been really busy making lots of pinball and other games and growing the studio and bouncing all over the world, so I'm in one place right now. I hope to focus and tell you some good stuff.
Well, that good stuff is going to come from the game Pinball FX, which just launched. It's coming to Steam next week. Yes,
it is. It is coming next Thursday to Steam,
and it is presently on Xbox, PlayStation, and Epic.
That's correct.
Tell us about the game. What is Pinball FX for the people who don't know?
So Pinball FX is, I just say it's meta pinball in the digital world. So if you know, you download the pinball platform, and there's a huge amount of different pinball games that live in this pinball universe, and everything from My Little Pony to Doom. Well, Doom is coming, actually. Right? There we go. I said it. This is the Bethesda game. It's a remaster, you know, but and all the new stuff that we've announced, right? Like Godzilla vs. Kong and all this. So if we got live events going, you can play against your friends, you can make your own tournament. We've got all sorts of extra, we got rooms and expansions that are going to open up in that pin hall that you're seeing. This is like the pinball universe that will started that is now a couple months old on some platforms, launching next week. And I think this game is like a 10-year project. Ooh. So it will evolve. It what you see today is one thing, but what it will be even a year from now or 2-5 years from now, I'm really excited about it.
There's what, nearly 100 tables in the game right now?
I think there's actually over 100 right now.
So I got to ask the question, yeah. You know, it's coming. I'm sure everyone hits you with it. Let me get my proper whine. Why don't my tables carry over?
That's a good question. And we could talk about it for multiple hours and I wouldn't be able to tell you every reason why, but the main reason why is we had to scrap our old engine and go into Unreal and rebuild every table from scratch, pretty much, and remaster the game. And so there's some technical issues on the back end of certain stores like PlayStation and Xbox and Nintendo, where we've actually uploaded new packages. So it's not the same packages previously that you played. And so there's no entitlement associated with it. And so that's one reason. So we couldn't do it across every platform. Like, could we do it on Steam or Xbox or PlayStation? Maybe we could jerry-rig it some way on one, but we wouldn't be able to do it on all of them. And that would be really hard to explain. So the first and foremost is we had to remaster all the games. We had to rebuild them, and the entitlements don't exist to send them forward. We had been doing that, yes, since 2010. So like that's 13 years that we were able to do it.
Yeah.
This time around, we couldn't. There's also not every licensor would play ball with us. So again, it would be different. Like some of them just said, you can't give this away again. You have to monetize it again. And so when we got to that point, you know, we said, okay, well, some would transfer, but some might not transfer on some on one platform, but not enough. That just, it was so messy. We just decided there's no way to do this rationally or communicate it properly. We just need to draw a line in the sand and
start deal fresh. With
it and start fresh. So
that's
there's even more. There's even more to it than there, but those are the two big things.
So many interviews that's one of the biggest things we hear. Licensing is a motherfucker.
A lot of times it's fun, but a lot of times it's not fun. What I'm really excited about, though, is the new partners we have on. Like, we just announced Crypt of the NecroDancer pinball, and like working with Brace Yourself Games, that's freaking awesome. You know, yeah, that is really cool. They're easy to work with, and we have, and they're cool. Others, some of the big ones,
you have to like dance around what you're saying. I love this.
Yeah.
Let's but talk about NecroDancer. Yeah. What led to NecroDancer getting a pinball table?
Well, James Chan, who's a guy you probably, I don't know, maybe you've never heard of him. Maybe you can Google him, but he's like a super secret, super powered superhero ninja of the industry. We've been wanting to work together for a really long time. He used to be over with Shovel Knight. He's made a few stops along the way, but we're really good friends. And we've been wanting to work together for a really long time. And finally, we both were just in a place where we just said, we can do what we want. We're going to make this happen.
Nice.
So that's why we made Crypto NecroDancer pinball, because I love his game, he loves my game, and we made a baby.
Aw, that's adorable. Does the baby have awesome music? Because I know NecroDancer, one of the best parts of that game is Danny B's soundtrack. Love Danny Baranowski. What kind of music is in this table?
Oh man, we've got I think 10 or 12 tracks of Danny B music. Everything from, let's see, like Disco Descent is in there, Metal Mancy, the death metal, which, you know, is featuring Family Jewels. Another great one is Sticks and Stones, The Last Dance, Rigor Mortis, Momentum Mori.
Is Cryptek on there?
Is what? Which one?
Cryptek 1-2.
Let me check here.
If not, you got to add that one. That's my favorite song.
Maybe in a expansion or something. Let's see.
NecroDancer 2.
I don't see that one. I'm pulling up a soundtrack. I have it somewhere. I don't know that one's in there. Sorry to disappoint you.
I'm gonna write a sternly worded letter to Zen Studios and express my disappointment. Grant, have you been playing the new FX?
Yeah, I've played a bunch on PC, and then I did download the Xbox version just to try it on the telly. I've gotten very used to playing pinball vertical, so. You know, it's just a big change to have it on your television. I know you guys are actually supporting rotation, I think, in the next update for Xbox, which is really cool. I'm not going to turn my TV sideways, but hey, if someone's going to build a cabinet and maybe use, you know, one of these modern systems as the brain, that would be really nice for them. But yeah, I've given it a spin, and it's great. It's awesome. It's deep. It's been fun to see the things you guys have done around the games. I know you've been, you've reworked your tournament system. I don't know what other kinds of things you have going on relating to multiplayer and community and stuff like that. But yeah, I know you're making constant changes to it. But yeah, it's great. Looks good. Plays tight. I'm a fan. Nice.
Cool. Well, glad to hear that, because I wouldn't want to disappoint you.
I don't want to be disappointed. I will say I have a virtual pinball cabinet that I built a couple of years ago just to put visual pinball and some other stuff on there. And I have not, when FX first came out or went in early access, you weren't, you know, officially supporting Tate mode, cabinet mode, stuff like that. What's the current situation with cabinet mode and guys trying to get this thing running on their virtual pins?
Yeah. Cabinet mode is very important to us. Probably our most hardcore players are playing in cabinet mode, right? So we want to support them. And I look at it as a whole entire island, like within the game, that needs to have like the most beautiful scenery and needs to play the best and have all the bells and whistles and just be this like amazing experience. So the status for Steam is that there's a big update coming with Steam. It also update to EGS. But cab mode will get a lot more features and support and hopefully not be as clunky as it's been in early access. And then beyond that, we have a lot of plans to support it. Also gone is the need to verify what you're playing on. We had to do that before, but we've managed to get around that with our licensors so that they can just let us turn it on and keep it on, which is cool. I would say that we want life to be the best for you guys playing on cabs. So when you turn it on, everything should work. If you want to optimize it or you want to change it or customize it based on your settings, you'll be able to do that. We want it to be like the menus need to be optimized, and I believe they are for next. It's a crapshoot right now, guys. Like all the amount of stuff we're trying to get done in time, so there's some things might still be a little like broken, like it just happens. But I think it's much improved. We're also supporting various manufacturers, so there'll be more announcements about that in 23. So people who want to have a cab who they don't have the means to build one themselves or the expertise, they can get one maybe like half built or fully built, and it's just affordable and it's easy for them to set up. So we're trying to support as much as we can on the cab side. It's a big priority.
Yeah, the Steam release is actually really cool because I already have my machine configured to play the FX3 tables. And that's just sort of the environment a lot of people live in. I mean, that's gonna open up a new audience. People who, everyone kind of has the Epic installer already on their machines if they are gaming regularly, but the Steam is where a lot of people just live, and so that seems like a pretty good opportunity to maybe dive in. Is it worth giving it a shot now? Is it worth is it functional and pretty functional in cabinet mode at the moment, or is it something that we should are there updates coming that would make sense to wait for?
Oh yeah, no, it's functional and it's great. I would say that it's not as good as it's going to be. It will evolve, but you should check it out on Thursday. And
rad.
Most definitely.
It'll be my weekend project.
There you go. Get
your effects running on there.
Yeah, it takes us a little bit of time to sort out all the different feedback because the thing is we don't have a common platform per se. For everybody's got so many different configurations and televisions and monitors or whatever it is they're using. So we do have a baseline spec and that should be good, but we'll very quickly be able to optimize for different new configs and whatnot.
Dig it.
Yep.
So what is the pinball? Oh, wait, I just noticed Jacob's here. Jacob, what are you doing?
I told you I only needed 5 minutes.
He's
like,
been here. He's been hanging out.
Yeah, I've been here since 9:05, the time I told you I was going to be here.
And no, we started before you showed up.
Yeah. No.
It was Aki's idea.
Well, that makes sense, actually.
Jacob, do you have any questions about Pinball FX?
No, I mean, the whole, like, why aren't my tables from the previous one got answered, so, no.
We could talk about it some more if you want.
I'm curious like, to know.
I have to provide therapy for people, I feel like, because it's like, I love that people care so much, but it's strange because I get treated like an asshole. So, I'd like to make sure people really understand what it is, what's going on.
I get it. Thankfully, I wasn't as invested, no offense, as, some other people. namely Joe. But no, like, I mean, I get it. And at the same time, I mean, like, how many times have we fucking bought The Legend of Zelda over and over again on Nintendo systems?
Yeah, true.
Like, the original game. How many times? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, you can't buy an Xbox game and expect it to just work on PlayStation. It just doesn't work that way. I mean, I get that you had to kind of, you were working in an old engine and you had to decide. I'm sure that you talked about it for years to figure out when the right time would be to like pull off the Band-Aid and get this new platform going, like prop yourself up for the future. But I know it has been rough, dealing with a lot of the feedback and people that have, they invested in the platform for a long time. So it makes sense to be disappointed. But I think it's one of those things where it's still talked about, but it's also people are now invested in the new platform. And this is the future. So, and the tables are better because of it. So it's something you'll probably always hear a little bit about, but I hope most of that grossness has gone away.
Well, see, we also had to decide, is it worth, like, should we even bring all of the old Pinball FX tables forward? Should we remaster them?
Right.
is it, should we keep Star Wars Pinball and Marvel Pinball and all these games alive and like moving forward? Because there's a big debate in digital, like what happens when things go out, you know, when Nintendo 3DS store closes and they're just not available anymore. Yeah. So we decided, it was a hard decision. We almost decided, let's just make new content. Let's leave everything behind and be done with it. But, it's hard, you know, that was a hard choice as well. We left all the games on FX3. That, you know, last time we took FX2 off the market because we thought it would be confusing for people. This time we're leaving it on. We're just leaving FX3 up. And so if you don't want to buy the new stuff, you still have all your games. You can still play them.
Yeah, I know you're trying to make it more relieving. You're trying to relieve the pain a little bit with the pinball pass. It gives people access to nearly all of the tables for basically a monthly fee. Like, what is the pinball pass? Tell us about that.
Yeah, pinball pass is a monthly fee or an annual fee for like just a subscription. So if you buy into that, you get access to the majority of the tables in the FX library, minus currently Indiana Jones and Marvel pinball tables. But everything else that is available for Pinball FX is in that. And it's just, instead of, you know, some people just want a one button push and they get access to everything, and you know, they know that everything we were making in the future is coming to Pinball Pass. Like, we have 30 something games in production right now. I can tell you every single one of those is coming to Pinball Pass.
Holy shit.
So I think over time it'll be a great value. And what I think is great is people who are playing on like virtual pin cabs, you know, they just know that when something new releases, it's just showing up there for them, you know. We heard a lot of feedback from players like that, that it would just be nice if there was an option where they don't have to like clunky through the store and just do all this stuff. It's just there. So there was born the pinball pass.
Have you thought of a daily pass or a weekend pass?
Yes. Yes, we have. And in fact, the new tutorial, we've totally revamped the tutorial for Pinball FX because it was horrible these last couple months. You're going to get, if you complete that, you get a 1-day pinball pass for free, and then you can play that.
That's and rad.
We're thinking about making that purchasable, and we're also thinking about the weekend pass.
Because I think that would be an awesome idea for the people who love pinball but don't necessarily want to invest a lot of money into it, where, you know, they want to play it a day here or a day here, or they have a party coming up and they have friends coming over and they want to have a bunch of pinball tables for the weekend. And they might think a full month of the pass is just a bit more than they need. But I just think a daily or weekend pass would be a great option.
That's great feedback. That's similar to what we've been thinking. And this is also a way that we're able to get around having to do verification for a cab mode. Because the fear from our licensors was that they would put these in public locations and just start, you know, and let them.
Right.
And so now we can give them a pinball pass subscription, and it kind of helps skirt the issue. So for like a barcade or a public location, they just subscribe and, you know, it solves the issue.
That's a great idea.
What are pinball coins? I know in early access, pinball coins were used to purchase the tables directly. And now are they just used for the pass since you reverted back to the real money system?
Yeah, that's correct. You buy coins on the regional store, like the Xbox store, right? And then you redeem those for the pinball pass in game. And the reason why we're doing that is because pinball pass will become cross commerce at some point, hopefully in the next couple months. So you subscribe on Xbox, you can play it on your PlayStation or Steam, or eventually your phone or your pin cab. So subscribe, it's like Game Pass. Subscribe on one device and you get it everywhere.
That's awesome. Is there any way to make purchases cross-commerce, like table purchases? Or is that something that the public missed out on because they didn't want to try this coin aspect or the tickets that you were
doing? That's what we were going for. That's why we introduced the ticket system, because we are going to go cross-commerce. So if you buy the tickets from the store, you go in-game and you redeem your table, then that is a cross-commerce because we control the transaction. So your money is spent again on like Xbox store. They get their $7 of the $10, you know, ticket pack that you bought. You come into Pinball FX, you redeem your $7 worth of tickets, quote unquote, you get your tables, but we can enable those to be wherever you play. That was the idea, but fortunately it wasn't communicated very well. And our backend tech wasn't ready when we started early access. So it wasn't working, and it just was a mess. So we had to abandon it.
Is it something that could be revisited, or is the tech possible?
No. It's not because we revisit it. It's because now, because we made a big decision, and now all the games are just released on the stores. You cannot sell the same content on Xbox on the store versus in game. So if you look at games like other, look at Fall Guys or some of these others where there's stuff to buy on the store, but then you go inside and you can use the currency to buy all the little things inside.
Yeah.
You don't have the same stuff on the store.
Is there anything else you could use the coins on, or is it just the pass?
Mm-hmm. We have some fun little items in the game. There's like an in-game store where there's customizations and things like that. And that whole area is going to get built out even more and evolve with some of the licenses we're bringing in. There's cool upgrades and whatnot that I shouldn't say too much. Think Adam's Family, right? Think Adam's Family Gold version, right? Stuff like that.
Speaking of Adam's Family, you guys are doing a lot with the Williams stuff. You're getting ready to drop Twilight Zone, which is very exciting. Very cool game, just like Indiana Jones, which was recently done, and Adam's Family. So I wanted to ask, of all these, I know that the Indiana Jones is sort of outside of the Pinball Pass, for licensing reasons. Like, what would you say has been the most difficult game to take care of as far as licensing goes with the Williams stuff? I'm curious to know if there's one that perhaps it's Indiana Jones. Maybe it has to do with likeness stuff. I don't know. But can you speak a little bit to that, how that whole relationship has been, and any interesting stories or difficulties getting some of these games out?
Yeah, I would say that the most difficult licensing job I've ever had to do is with Indiana Jones, with the Williams, the remake. And that was because, for a lot of these games, there's just not very good records, or the contracts don't exist between, say, an actor and what used to be Williams Entertainment Gaming. It actually is now Light and Wonder. I think that it was acquired again. And so there's speculation. If you look at the actual machine itself, is that really Harrison Ford, or some of these other actors that are on there? And you can debate, yes, it is, or no, it isn't. We always err on the side of yes, it is, because I'm not going to put Harrison Ford's face on the front of something without proper clearance. So
sure.
It just took a really long time to sort that out and to kind of dig through the digital archives, I like to say. And then there's just a lot of, you have to deal with the states. Sean Connery is no longer with us, so you deal with the states, you deal with people with, I don't know, old entities, and it just takes a while to sort through. And then I thought I hit dead ends many times. I thought, oh man, there's no way this is going to happen. This is where it ends. But somehow we managed to find a solution, or someone was agreeable to something, or it was within our price range. Because sometimes the asks you get up front, you're just like, there's no way. Which is also why this game is $14.99. Right. And there's a premium on it. But we just felt like we actually probably should have charged more for it. But this was like a very important game to the history of the Williams library. And I think people thought, this is why we actually got it, because Zen already had a relationship with Disney and we were probably the only ones who could ever do it. So we made sure it got done, but it was a lot of fun. I feel like I went on my own Indiana Jones adventure.
I got a question about this Indiana Jones table, mostly because I've never played it. I'm not familiar with what it looks like. Were there issues with Nazi imagery and stuff like that? Because I know over in Germany, that's just not allowed, or at least it used to not be in video games. Was that an issue for this game too, or no?
It could potentially. We haven't heard anything about it so far, so I don't know.
Sorry, I ruined your German sales.
Good job, Jake.
Yeah. Good question, though.
Hopefully nobody over in Germany is listening.
This game is 100% authentic. So every single sound, every single line, voice, art, everything.
There were no edits or changes at all to the table?
No edits or changes whatsoever.
I know when our friends at Farsight had the Williams stuff, when they released Adam's Family, I believe they said they couldn't get Christopher Lloyd's likeness and they had to edit the table. But you guys got him, right?
No, we did not. Our version also does not feature Christopher Lloyd.
Oh, really?
We tried to get Christopher Lloyd. We were very, very, we did everything we possibly could, but I don't know. He doesn't like money.
Weird.
Or he's working
cool fan stuff. I don't know.
He's a working man. I don't know. It's interesting.
If he ever listens to this, I would, and I'd say the offer still stands and we could maybe improve it. I don't know.
Come on, Christopher.
Let me give him a ring real quick. Hold on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say we could send this to him on Twitter and see what happens.
I guess that means
no. It'd be fucking hilarious if he listened to this show. He's like, you know what? Yeah, I'll get involved.
Well, yeah, I got 3 hours.
What I don't know is, waste. I mean, like we deal with his agent, right? I don't know if agents if they just, you know, kind of snuff at what we're telling them and they don't really take something unless it's a certain size. So I don't know. Did he actually review what we put in front of him for Adam Stanley Pinball? 99% likely not.
Yeah, right. Makes sense.
Yeah, once you said the agent, I was just like, oh, yeah, I've heard of that happening one too many times where the agent is just like, nah, they're not interested. This isn't enough.
They wouldn't approve of this.
Well, you know, we have a Back to the Future table as well, which also does not feature Christopher Lloyd. We tried to get him then. So I don't know. We just kind of struck out, you know?
It's interesting because the original Back to the Future table, it does have Christopher Lloyd on it, but it doesn't have Michael J. Fox on it. It has like, it's a pretty hilarious back glass if you guys want to look for it, but it's clear that is Christopher Lloyd and then some other guy looking at his watch. It's kind of funny. So I don't know what happened. That was back when Christopher Lloyd played pinball, apparently.
There you go.
What other Williams stuff can you talk about? Can you say how many kind of active Williams tables you are courting at the moment or working on?
Yeah, so we have, we have two in production that require no third-party additional rights. So those would be, you know, like, for example, Theater of Magic or, you know, something like that, right? Swords of Fury, right? That came out recently, which I love that game, by the way. That soundtrack is killer.
Yes, it is.
Grant, I still am thinking about that email that we talked about. So,
man,
I'm waiting for something to happen and we can circle around to it.
Sweet.
Grant, are you going to work on music for Pinball FX?
I doubt it. I mean, what am I going to? I'll just, you know, who knows? You got to play my Swords of Fury cover on the episode, because you always ask me what to play from me. If you're going to play something, play that. That's there's some pinball.
Sounds good.
Stuff for you.
I was going to play something from Necrodancer, but I'll play Swords of Fury.
Nah, do Danny B. Did you hit GDC this year, Mr.
Oh, Moore? Yeah. Yeah, I was at GDC. I was at DICE. GDC was, it was like back to its normal self. It was great. Yeah.
Yep, definitely. Yeah. I ran into Danny B at a concert. There was a chip show on Thursday and got to talk with him a little bit. So
was that the one Danimal played at?
It was. Nice. He was up front for Danimal.
Nice.
That's cool to see.
I think
you know, my GDCs are not as wild as they used to be. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just saying, I think another one of our friends was there too at the concert. We have friends everywhere.
So it is. So yeah, you're in California now, but your team, pretty much everyone, I guess, is in Budapest, right? I mean, is everyone out there? Is that where Zen lives? And then you're just on your own out here in California?
The majority of Zen is in Budapest, and we have a few people out here in California and one in New York. I think you guys had Chris Baker on.
We love Chris. Recently, he's been on a few times. How's he doing?
He's good. Chris is good.
And, shoot him a Discord invite right now and be like, hey, come on the show.
He's in, well, it's 9:30. Let's see. Grant, I realized I didn't fully answer your question about what other Williams games. I just want you to know that I'm chasing down the big ones that still have third-party rights associated with them, and they're happening. So, sweet. And even some that were never done in Farsight's era.
Ooh.
Oh, I love it.
Are there any you're able to talk about, or are they still too far away to mention?
No, they're too far away to mention. I can't talk about them because they're with big rights holders and there's talent involved. So there you go.
Gotcha.
I think I said it.
Are you in talks with Stern at all?
Oh my God. I had the exact same question, Joe. I literally had that. As soon as I heard the of Stern in my brain, you said it. That's so weird.
We're Go ahead. I don't know. Any other comment before I answer this?
Oh, I would just mention that Farsight had this thing they did where they did, like, you know, they made a couple of modern tables, and then it was sort of just before the whole platform just sort of hit
fell apart, stagnation. And then they just stopped.
Yeah.
A bummer.
Yeah. We're very friendly with Stern. I have huge admiration and respect for those guys. I'm their biggest fan. Like, we're not really talking about anything business related right now. We've danced together. We've talked about it. It's difficult. Licensing is, it gets in the way, you know, a lot of times, because there's just not enough to go around at the end of the day. Sometimes, but we're always talking to each other. And I do think that there's at some time, there's going to be something that will happen. And I think we'd all like to see that happen. So you never know.
Nice.
Yeah.
Take it. What other pin makers are there? Like, I know there's tons of new tables that are still coming out that I see, like, at MagFest or just, like, online. I'll see, like, hey, Stranger Things has a table, or Metallica has a table. I don't know who makes all these tables, but is it Stern, or is it another company? Are you in talks with any other companies that produce pinball tables to get some other crazy, maybe newer tables on the game?
So, yeah, this is a big topic as well. I would say, you know, physical pinball is hitting a new glory day, like, so to speak, kind of back in the 80s, the early 90s.
You've got a lot of manufacturers. I love playing physical tables.
Yeah, absolutely. We wouldn't make our game if we didn't like also playing physical. And we are so happy that the physical realm is doing awesome. Just in the last month, I mean, you had Scooby-Doo, maybe it's like 5 or 6 weeks now, but you had Scooby-Doo announced from Spooky. You had Play Mechanics jump in with their first game, which is Pulp Fiction. You had Stern do the Foo Fighters, which my good friend Jack Danger, like, absolutely freaking killed it on.
Yeah, he really did.
I've been following that. That thing's pretty exciting. One of my friends from college, she's a big Foo Fighters fan, so I've been sharing, like, the updates with her. But, yeah, that thing's insane. Like, that's so beautifully done.
It's so good.
Now and then I'm looking this one up.
You had Jersey Jack do the Godfather 50th anniversary, right? So, like, I don't remember the last time we had four real world machines announced all within a month of each other, 5 or 6 weeks of each other, whatever it is. I don't think ever.
Well, James Bond wasn't that long ago either, was it?
No, it wasn't. That was 22, I believe.
Oh, okay. Oh, wait, we're already in April. Shit.
Oh my God, we're in April.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, and then you got other companies. You got, like, Multimorphic. They're down in Austin, Texas, and they have the P3 board, and they're doing Weird Al. And they also they got a cool system where it's kind of like Zen, like a platform. You buy this thing, and then all, you know, you get all the tables. You know, you have your Pinball FX game. You keep buying tables for it. Well, the P3 is like a real machine, and then the whole top comes out, the whole play field, and you swap that in and out. So your game is cheaper, and you can get different licensed content and different design games on their P3. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, Joe, you should look it up. The whole bottom two-thirds of the play field is just a big touchscreen.
Oh,
and it senses the ball position. So it'll like light up parts of the play field as the ball goes across it, or like leave a trail. It's pretty neat. It's definitely new. Feels pretty good.
So, like, I'm on a first name basis with everybody who runs these companies, and we talk all the time. And there's intent to collaborate, I think, at some point. But, like, whether it's Jerry with Multimorphic or Jack over at Jersey Jack, or, you know.
Or all of them.
All of them. Like, yeah.
You're the pinball guys now. You got to get every pinball table ever created in the game. Like, I want that Skittles pinball machine that Dwight Howard got. I want that in the game.
Skittles.
Yeah. He got a custom made Skittles pinball table from Skittles.
It's amazing.
That's cool.
I did get to play the Papa John's pizza table.
Is there a Papa
John's? No. Oh. It's Domino's. Excuse me, Domino's.
Is the Noid on it?
Yeah. I don't think so.
Oh, that's garbage.
It's not.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, that he wasn't there.
What about the Supreme
now that you
table?
Mentioned the Noid, I'm just like, there needs to be like a Chester Cheetah and 7-Up spot ones too.
cool spot pinball table.
We can make a pin out of anything. We really can.
What's the goofiest license table that you're trying to get, or that you would love to get? Like, the just the weirdest, most offbeat, off the wall. What would you want to get?
I have this obsession with Big Bang Bar, which is an old Capcom game. There was only like 122 of them ever produced in the real world. I would love to remake that game. It's just, I cannot find one.
Mm.
And that is a weird off the wall kind of thing.
Wait, that's a pinball game or just any game period?
That's a pinball game.
Yeah. That's a pinball
game. I didn't even know Capcom made pinball tables.
Huh. Oh yeah.
They made a few. They were all good. And they stopped. They always have a Big Bang Bar at California Extreme. So if you ever want to make the way to the Bay over the summer for California Extreme, someone, I don't know who it is, someone's regularly bringing it out so you can put your hands on it.
Okay. I've been to California Extreme, but it's been a little while.
We got to get you to MAGFest sometime.
Yeah.
There was a pinball panel at MAG this year. I don't know if you saw that, Joe. No, I watched it after the fact. I didn't touch panels but these guys had two machines up there and they talked about, it looked like a pretty full room, and they were talking about, you know, things to do, things not to do. They talked about repair a little bit. It was pretty cool.
Nice.
Dark Mika, they should make an SML pinball table. You could have just said that, Aki.
Eating.
So why are you eating during the show? You know, we like this shit's scheduled like years in advance. We've decided on Thursdays at 9. Why are you eating right now?
Because sometimes food just takes longer to be made and consumed than I expected.
But a ramen pinball table.
Noodly pinball. Yeah.
There probably is one over in Japan.
Or at least a pachinko.
I guarantee you there is.
Yeah, that's true. A pachinko machine. There's a I'm a big fan of the manga Golgo 13. And there's even one over here. Like, there's even one of those. And every once in a while up on Facebook Marketplace, somebody has one for like $300 to $500. And I'm just like, I should buy that. Yeah, and then my wife just like makes this gesture that she's going to kill me from across the room. So I don't.
I just keep looking up this Big Bang Bar table now.
It's pretty amazing. It's a little double entendre-y for let's just say, I don't know if my wife would appreciate some of the sounds that come out of that machine from the other room if I were to acquire. I mean, I'm not going to get one, but the whole Big Bang Bar is like, it's a space themed bar, but there's several kinds of banging going on. Let's just say.
AKA the waitress from
my kind of pinball table.
Yeah, the waitress from Total Recall's in there.
Yes.
What about Atari? Are they on the table with on the table with companies you could work with? I'm most interested in if it's even possible to get something like Hercules in the game.
Yeah.
Oh. Wow.
I think everything's on the table.
Everything's on the table.
Or a custom.
I just wondering, like, physics wise, how that one would work. Something like Hercules.
What do you mean?
Like isn't Hercules the table that is like played with a pool ball?
Like cue ball. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like just a giant, massive, like triple wide pinball table.
Mm-hmm. It's the biggest pinball ever made. Yeah, we would have to do something for that. Something special in terms of the weight of the ball. Surface material.
Oh wow, yeah, that looks huge as shit.
Yeah, that'd be quite
at MAGFest. That's the only place I've ever seen that table is at MAGFest.
Oh, they had one. That's cool.
Yeah. Huh. It was hard as fuck to play.
Yeah.
You hit the flipper and it like barely moves the ball because of how old the table is. The flippers are just weak from years of being beaten by a cue ball.
Yeah.
I would love to see like a pack of tables, Atari themed tables, you know, a Yara's Revenge or a that would be, you guys do a lot of themed game tables, and I can imagine the game licenses without people on them might be easier to deal with, but that would be fun. A hyper retro pack of tables with fun sound effects would be cool.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. I think we could make a completely different kind of gameplay experience out of it. You know, some of our tables can be very complicated and cluttered, while others can be, you know, a little more wide open. And like, so you need different kind of themes to like dictate what you're going to do with the design. But I think that would be really cool.
You guys are doing a lot of stuff outside of pinball too. I know you're doing you have games, you really several games under your umbrella.
And Circus Electric, Operencia, yep. Castle Storm. I think Operencia is the last time Chris was on.
Yes.
Okay.
That's right. What's that done to, like, I assume you probably have some other games you're working on too, in addition to pinball stuff. What's it done to the company and the team and, you know, finally dipping your toe in some other kinds of games?
It's been great. You know, not everybody wants to work on pinball all the time. So, you know, guys have ambitions for other things, or we have a deep love of RPG. A lot of our team members played Pen and Papers and, you know, Dungeons and Dragons and that sort of thing. So, Operencia was a dungeon crawler, an ode to Hungarian folk tales, and it was a really beautiful game. Chris Baker wrote it. It did really well for us. We went on to make Circus Electric, which was, you know, this like circus, steampunk circus theme come to life, and it still got that RPG flair to it. It did okay. I think the game had a little bit of an identity issue, but you know, it's doing well, and people who play it seem to really enjoy it. So we have another non pinball project in the works, our next game. So we'll be talking about that. I don't know, maybe early next year.
Cool.
But, yeah, it's. So there's two sides of Zen. There's pinball and there's non-pinball.
Carnage in chat says, shout out to the Rocky and Bullwinkle game.
Oh, wow. That was a long time ago.
Wait, the Xbox Live arcade game?
There's a pinball table for it, too.
Oh. Okay. Wait. No. I meant, like, the old Xbox Live arcade game. Did Zen make that or no?
We did. We made that Rocky and Bullwinkle game.
Oh, man.
Shout out.
Jeez. And we made a pinball table. Yeah. That's back with the Classic Media back in the day.
I regret not getting that before it got delisted. But I do like have a question going back to the pinball stuff. Like, is your focus like just completely on the physical stuff, or like have you folks ever considered like going back and like picking up the rights to pinball games that like existed on like PC or on console years ago, and like seeing if like you could bring those into the fray? Like I know that they made like a Star Trek pinball game for the Mac back in the early 90s, so like something like that.
Yes. I'd say that we are thinking about things like that, and I should be careful what I say here.
Okay.
I can tell you, I tried to do Space Cadet, but I did hit dead ends there. But if those doors open up, we would totally redo Space Cadet. That one's very complicated. Obviously, ended up more so than indie. But
I was going to say, because I know Maxis made that, didn't they? And then for Microsoft, so good lord.
That would be amazing.
If we managed to redo it, we'd probably just give it away, just because I think everybody would love that.
Yeah.
Because my question goes back to like this whole topic of pinball made me think about some of the games I played as a kid, unlike Apple IIe, and it's just in terms of a game preservation, like how many, like I think I still have some of these things on like the old 5-inch floppy disk somewhere around here, but it's just like trying to find the rights to something like that, and like figuring out what was the retail release, what was like a homebrew that some nerd came up with. Cause I specifically remember playing a pinball table called Mad Max, literally had nothing to do with Mad Max, the movie, you know, it's just called that. It was like one of the most simple pinball games I'd ever played, but I can't find anything on the internet about it. Like it's just not a thing. And I'm like, in terms of game, like pinball preservation, is that an area that's like going to become a focus for you folks, or?
I don't know if I would consider it a focus per se, but there's definitely things that we want to do. I think that we're doing it with the Williams Bally stuff. There's a element of preservation there on the physical side. So yeah, on the digital side, there's definitely some things that we've got our eye on and that I'm working on that we would like to bring back, whether you call it a remaster or a remake or, you know, whatever, because it's going to need to be redone so it works on your PlayStation 5, you know, or on Steam. But we have projects in our queue which take a strong nod to that.
Okay, cool.
Very cool.
I would love to do, and because we're not doing this, but, you know, well, I maybe like Kirby's Dream Land or Metroid Pinball. You know, those are like some of the games that, those are some of my first pinball games in the digital world. I know you can play it now with like Nintendo's subscription, right? Like you, they're unlocking some of those old titles. Yeah. But would that, what would those look like in a modern day, you know? So that'd be really cool to explore.
Speaking of Nintendo, is there any news on the Switch version of Pinball FX?
Yeah, the news is that we had to delay it from April, and we're looking at hopefully June, July, probably July. It's just so much optimization work that has to be done, and it's just taken longer than we wanted. So we were trying to get it out to launch with Steam next week, but we had a delay.
That's a bummer, but as long as the game works when it comes out, right? Because that's one of the biggest issues, I think, with Switch games is optimization and frame rates and just making sure it's a smooth experience. So.
Absolutely. And with pinball, we better have frame rate sorted out and no drops. It's there's some other things like it always drives me nuts. Somehow we always forget about font size.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We are paying attention to font size. So
that's good.
Yes, font size on the Switch is always an issue.
I don't know why, but that's like every developer, all my friends, we always talk about, how do we manage to leave the font so small again? Like, who was paying attention to fonts? Nobody? Why is nobody looking at fonts? Anyway.
You mentioned possible like extensions to the room in Pinball FX. Could we see like an explorable gallery of all your tables that you own that you could walk around and maybe like digital arcade games? If you get like Space Cadet, something like that, you can have maybe license some other games to include in the game as arcade standalones or mini games, your own games, anything like that?
Yes.
And got to leave it there. Good. Okay.
There you go.
Good answer. If you go into FX now, you know, you got your pin hall, you got your one pinball machine, and pinball machines are very lonely with them by the, where they're by themselves. But, you know, we do have these shelves set up for you to put all your collectibles on. And we're already hearing people, you know, oh, I need more shelf space. And so we're like, okay, good. They, you know, they want this thing to be bigger. And then you go to your like tournament section, or you go to the event section, and you know the rooms are they are differently, they're different themes. So it's like, oh, I went into a different room in my house, you know. So yeah, that whole the pin hall and the whole thing, yes.
I would love to see it third person, like create an avatar, walk around, just walk up to the machines and be like, I want to play this one. And if you own it, you just start playing it. If you don't own it, maybe like a purchase screen pops up or a pinball pass screen pops up, stuff like that.
You're talking about the metaverse pinball. That's why I say I feel like Pinball FX is meta pinball, and we'll get there eventually. Like it'll be this pinball universe.
Yes.
Love it.
I would love
arcade it. Arcade universe. Who knows? It'll, who knows what it'll become? I like, you know, my good friend Sean Murray over there with No Man's Sky. I mean, look at where it started. Look where it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yep.
That's something I tried suggesting to Farsight with like their bowling games, to have it be like a walk around the bowling alley and play some arcade games or play pool or like the basketball game, shit like that. I think that'd be fun to have just an interactive arcade that you can explore. I remember what was it, Arcade Room on the Xbox 360 that you were able to,
that's what it was called,
that you were able to,
Game Room.
Game Room, that's it. That you were able to download arcade games and just design your own arcade that you could browse around and play. It, I love stuff like that. It's so cool.
I agree. And it's, I think our players would love to have a place where it's just all done in one place, you know, and it's got new releases coming all the time. You can decorate it however you want. Your friends can come in. You can walk around. You can share it. Yeah.
The future looks bright. I'll say that. I'm eager to hear more as more comes along. I know we've been chatting for close to an hour now. Is there anything that you wanted to talk about that we didn't bring up?
I don't know. I mean, I can talk about pinball for hours on end, of course. You know,
well, then please do. Go ahead. Thing, what do you want to tell?
I don't know. We didn't really talk about Godzilla vs. Kong.
Tell us about it. How did you get that? How did you get that in?
Well, you know, we're working with Legendary Pictures, and I've known Sam Amato over there for quite a while. And when he went to Legendary, he just said, hey, let's work together. You know, got a lot of great things over here. And Godzilla vs. Kong was, you know, awesome. Of course, we got to do that. And we get to work with Toho Japan, which our designers were thrilled to do, just to, you know, be on email threads with those guys is so cool.
That's awesome.
And so, yeah, it gives us a whole different flavor of anything that we've had. I mean, maybe you say Jurassic, you know, with huge giant animals, but, you know, to be able to work with Godzilla and Kong and Mechagodzilla is like, that's another one of those things that why we love doing what we get to do, because we get to work with all of our favorite things. So,
and it's three tables, not just one.
Yeah, you've got a dedicated Kong and Godzilla, and then you've got the Godzilla vs. Kong where they're all fighting together.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, and Godzilla. I think all three of them are really, really well done. Just in terms of like, you feel like, yeah, this is King Kong's table, and yeah, you feel like this is Godzilla's table, because like, true to their characteristics and what makes them Kong, what makes them Godzilla. So it's been a lot of fun to watch these develop over the last, I don't know, year, 14 months that we've been working on it.
When does that drop?
That is next week. That's April 13th.
That's there along with the Steam update. Very cool.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a big day. It's the Kong and Godzilla 3-pack, the Twilight Zone and NecroDancer all on the same day, right?
Yep. Yeah, we tried to make a big event for the Steam launch, you know, and you can expect, well, hopefully, like, when Nintendo Switch launches, we'd have another big, you know, event, like, where we get a lot of new content, it's exciting, and give people, like, something shiny and new to check out.
And Sorcerer's Lair is going to be included in that pack as well, right? That's in there?
Yeah. Sorcerer's Lair and Fish Tales are both releasing also on the 13th, but those are free for everybody.
Are they really? I was making a joke. I didn't realize. That was the one. Sorcerer's Lair is, I think a lot of people are fond of it because it was the free table on FX3. So I did not realize you were actually bringing that to the I was going to razz you for it, but now I can't. I got to find something else to razz you about. That's awesome. That's great news. Great table.
Yeah.
Free tables are always good.
Yeah. And Fish Tales, which is my personal all-time favorite Williams game, which I decided I was giving away to everybody. And so we're giving it away to everybody.
That's Do you badass. Still have your Fish Tales?
I do. I have a Fish Tales machine that doesn't work.
Doesn't work. My brother-in-law has a Bride of Pinbot that also does not work. And I was like, you could. Bummer. I was like, you could. I showed him Pinflation is real. Machines are expensive. It's hot, right? It's a good time to be making virtual pinball as well, of course. But I was like, you could get some money for this and get another one. And he's like, but then I wouldn't have it anymore. And I was like, oh, that's right. That's how that works. So it's just going to sit there, not working for the time being.
If you don't know how to do it, you don't know how to do it. And I'm finding there's less and less people. Like maybe a car mechanic would be a good person to bring up and try to have them fix my pinball machine, you know?
Yeah.
So
what's the pricing going to be on these new tables and packs?
So a standalone table, if it's got a license associated with it, is $5.49. If it's a standalone Zen table with no license, it's $4.99. And then for three packs, it's generally $14.99. There's some Williams games that are premium that we have to charge $9.99 for, like Adam's Family and Twilight Zone and FIFA World or the WMS World Cup, because we have FIFA's marks in there. And like Indiana Jones is $14.99. That's probably the only game that will ever be $14.99. But generally, those are the price points. We also have like bundles and collections with Star Wars and Marvel, which have like a lot of tables in there. And I think that those average out like to $2 a table. So they're somewhere in like the $19.99 to $23.99 range.
That's not bad. I do miss the days of like $3 tables, but you know, times have gone on and prices have gone up. So when are sales coming to Xbox? That's what I want to know, because that's when I'm waiting to restock my library.
Yeah, the legacy sales are coming to Xbox. I know that we have some going on right now on PlayStation. We tried to get those scheduled as quickly as we could from launch, because our promise was 33% off legacy stuff day one. But when we ditched our own store, we couldn't do that. So we have to do it from PlayStation Xbox store. And it takes time to get into the sale queues, but the Xbox sales are coming. I know all the Xbox players are waiting for them. I believe, I don't have my calendar in front of me and that's somewhere else now, but I think it's this month. I think that they will be this month.
Cool. Yeah. I'm gonna spend we'll start a lot putting, of money.
You know, like all games, everything will go on sale eventually. I know the price increase is, you know, it used to be basically $3.33 per table, right? If I had $9.99 for a three pack. Stuff is more expensive. Wages, I mean, everything's gone up in price. So we had to do it. but we try to stay low price.
Hey, you gotta make your money. So this shit's not cheap to make, and you have lots of employees. So yeah, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Now, what's your favorite? You've released a lot of machines in the last year. What's your favorite table right now you're jamming on that we'll be seeing in the next month? Like, what's your current favorite effects?
My current favorite from like the new generation.
Sure, or old too, but the new I think would be interesting to hear.
Okay, my favorite new one released out of the five that are releasing on Thursday, my personal favorite is Godzilla, but Crypt is right there. Crypt and Necrodancer, just because it's so different from anything we've done, beat matching and pinball and the whole. So to me, it's those two are my favorites.
Cool.
Okay. From the new generation so far, I got to say I love the Williams 94 World Cup game. It's just so damn rewarding. Like, I can actually get a billion, so that's cool. I feel really good about myself when I play that game.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
What was the achievement in the game? Like, 10 billion score, and I ended up getting it on the Attack on Mars table?
Nice.
Will we see any more achievements come to the game? I know that's kind of a mixed topic of discussion. Some people are happy that it was a fairly straightforward list, and then some people miss having table-specific achievements. Could we see more achievements added to the game? I would love to see more, like, play 20 different tables or play 30 different tables or get a cumulative score of, like, a Google or something stupid.
Buy the German language pack.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Making a note. Yeah, there's so many things to keep track of. I need to talk to them about achievements. Let's do that.
Carnage doesn't want any more achievements for once in his life because he has the 1,000 already, but I want more. I love having more reasons to keep playing games. I'm working on the tournament achievements still. I got 600 out of 1,000. So I'm still working on it.
Okay. I'm literally writing stuff down right now.
I'm worried about how many notes you've taken on this show and how many of the notes say don't ever come back.
Actually, this is the first note, so we've done pretty good.
Nice.
Achievements on PFX, more. Table specific. Play 20 tables, get a new achievement. More gamer score. Come on. Yeah.
Here's one for you. So I noticed that with the new Kong stuff, you know, in real life, they sort of left the dot matrix display behind, right? They went for LCD screens, and some companies like Jersey Jack are doing full screens for the back glass. I noticed that your Kong table has a much more like LCD type score readout. It's much more like what you'd expect to see with a new table out in the wild. That's interesting. I mean, that's evolution of pinball, so it makes sense. What are the other kinds of things that you are kind of playing with or kind of working to modernize or new ideas, things you might have tried that you haven't tried before that you could speak to?
Sure. Well, I'm really glad that you actually mentioned, you know, we moved from the traditional dot matrix to the HD display. This was one of the reasons why we went to the to Unreal Engine, is because we're getting more graphical horsepower and we could do things like that. So we didn't have that ability with the PX engine, which was our previous pinball development engine. So yeah, all these new games, like we can put movie clips now in there. You're going to see some of that with Godzilla vs. Kong. There's like clips from the movie in there, right? Ooh. And stuff. So we can really remix the media that we're working with. If it's based on a film, if it's based on a video game, if it's based on whatever, we got that HD player now. We can do so much more with the content. So it really is a big step forward. And I think it'll gives a lot more production value too. I mean, the DMD was cool, but like as pinball machines, you know, evolved over time, that has changed. And yeah, the new machines now are video players as well.
I'm excited to put the backlash of that, like set it up so that large screen is my main monitor on my cab. That will be cool to see.
Certainly. Let's see, what other things are we working on? We're always working on physics, right? And I love that there's just always the debate about it. I think it's getting better. But you know, there's still some innovation to be done there. And as we get more experience with Unreal Engine and because we brought our own physics into Unreal, we're going to unlock more gains there. And that'll be cool. We're working like music, Crypto Necrodancer, pinball music have a long history. We didn't want to just do the same thing Rock and Roll and Pinball, we're trying something new. There's some beat matching. There's some things there that are innovative to pinball gameplay. You know, every once in a while, we'll flip the table upside down.
For hitting on the beat?
Yes.
Yes. Sweet.
That's so cool.
Love that. I love that.
Yeah. It really comes down to the designer, and we give them now pretty much ultimate freedom. A little bit like Deep is he's our pinball guru, and he's our most seasoned guy, and he knows more about pinball than anybody that I know. He manages the team of designers, but the designers can, you know, we challenge them. Hey, we're a video game and we're pinball. Let's do something. Try to do something crazy with every table. Try to push the limit. Take this character, this mechanic, this universe that has never been done in pinball form, and make it, yeah, immortalize it, but make it memorable, you know, and don't do the same thing every time. So you guys keep us honest, you know. I know you guys play our games a lot, and you, like, we can't reskin a game because you would know immediately. So, you know, we just keep trying to do something new with every IP we get to work with.
These Godzilla and Kong tables look amazing, by the way. I've been looking up screenshots while you've been chatting, and they look incredible. I love the details on them. The Godzilla table with the spines on the side.
Yeah. The colors are awesome. That Godzilla table is big, massive. It feels Godzilla. I think that's what we try to capture.
So cool. I can't wait for these to come out. They look great.
Yeah. Next week. Coming quick.
Well, give us all the info. Give us all the info on the game, where it's available, how much it costs. Give us all the info wrapped up in one nice little package.
Okay. Pinball FX is currently available in the Epic Game Store. All your Xboxes and PlayStations, Gen 8, Gen 9. Sorry, that's what I call them, Xbox One through SX and PS4 through PS5. it's coming to Steam next week. It'll be on Switch sometime this summer, June, July, something like that. Maybe on to mobile at some point. I can't say when. But what does it cost? It ranges from tables range from $4.99 to $14.99 for individual tables. Packs are generally $14.99. There's a few that are priced lower than that. There's some bundles that are priced in the $20 range. You can subscribe to Pinball Pass for $14.99 a month or $99.99 for the year. And that just keeps growing. Like, all the new tables we're releasing are going into that Pinball Pass, except for Indie and Marvel, which are not currently a part of it. So yeah, you can drop a lot of money in it just because we have a lot of tables. We're a prolific pinball developer and we're not going to stop. So there's going to be a lot of pinball in there. As long as people want to play it and support us, you know. So we definitely appreciate everybody that does. We're not perfect. We've made some blundery mistakes. We've made some bad choices, but we try to learn from them and always just try to have a good time with the game and make sure that we're preserving a hobby, you know, that everybody loves. And we love the physical stuff too. So find us at Zen Studios. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, if that's still a thing. What else? I don't know. TikToks. I used to be in all that, but my role now is so different than what it was even a couple years ago. So I don't know what's going on over there, but I know we're involved.
Hey, what is your current title over there?
I am the chief operating officer.
Oh, there you go.
And I hardly ever do interviews. So this has been a lot of fun. And I wish I had more time.
Came on. We've got to do this again sometime. Bring Chris on again. Maybe later this summer when the Switch version's ready, we could get you back on it. Preferably before 4 years pass.
Hey, I promise before 4 years. And I hope to see Grant again in person. I actually have family down in his area and we went to a great dive bar together years ago. So we need to do that again.
Yeah. Hit me up when you're in the area. I will say, though, in 4 years, we're going to be just plugging USB sticks directly into our forehead and playing pinball in our brains. So,
yay!
You guys will be leading the charge.
Nice,
love it,
Mel. It has been fantastic having you on the show again. We love having you on here. We love Zen Studios. We love pinball, obviously. Can't wait for all the new stuff to come out. Thank you so much for spending your time with us over these years. It always means a lot when you come on because we know how busy you are. Stay in touch. We miss you. It's always good having you on.
Jacob, really any other questions? Thank you.
No, I don't have any other questions. Although, as I was getting ready for the news and stuff like that, I came on Stern Pinball's April Fool's Day thing, how they came up, or how they were saying they were going to they were going to release a Jersey Shore pinball table.
Oh, Jesus.
I think next year that needs to actually become a real table inside the game.
You don't have to write that one down, Mel. You don't have to write that one down.
No, the thing is, the reaction was a lot of people were wishing that it was a real announcement.
See, Joe, see, I'm helping with sales.
You got to get Snooki voice clips and JWoww.
Oh, forget it. Licensing's already shot.
Hit the ball.
Oh, so you get your voice actor. That's fantastic. Yeah, great sound alike.
I'll voice act. I'll do it.
Joe just does all the voices.
Yo, hit the ball. I don't know which guy that is. I just figure one of them sounds like that.
I'm assuming Ronnie.
Probably.
So good.
Cool. Well, Mel, do you have any final words before we let you go?
No, it's been a lot of fun, guys. Thanks for having me. I will come back before 4 years and take care and talk to you again sometime soon.
All right. Have a good one, Mel. Thanks so much again.
Take care.
All right, I'll see you.
Oh, that was fun. Grant, you going to stick around for news or did you need to head out?
I need to head out. I'm going to fall over starving. So I normally like to hang out, but I think I am going to pop. So
sounds good. Grant, thank you so much for coming on, hanging out. Your call, Swords of Fury or Cryptek from Necrodancer?
Rock some Necrodancer, man.
All right. We'll do Necrodancer.
You got to. Game's coming out.
What do you think about Doom Table?
Oh, well, I've played it. It was on the PX3.
But so coming back, what do you think of that accidental news bit?
Oh, I love it. That's great. There were all kinds of little tidbits in there, actually.
I know. I love having Mel on. It's been way too long. And I love having you on, too.
Well, I love hanging out with y'all. Well, you guys have a fantastic one. I will look forward to listening to the rest of the show when it goes up.
Cool beans. Have a good night, Grant.
Take care, guys.
See ya.
Laters.
All right. News. Y'all ready for news?
Yes. And I want to be praised because I actually have news for once. Praise me.
Do you want to start then?
Congratulations, Aki. I am praising you on your ability to create carbon dioxide, which plants need to create.
Good oxygen. Enough for me.
All right, Aki, what's your news? We'll start with you, just in case I have it and I end up ruining your news.
Ruin it. It's
very possible. I didn't see it in the news section, so I think we might be maybe possibly okay. Arc 2 is being delayed, and Arc Survival Ascended is coming in August, which means that the original Arc game is being shut down in August.
Yeah.
And all Survival Ascended is just the original Arc game.
Yeah, it's a remastered version of the first game. The official original game servers will shut down for the remaster. And as of now, the remaster is only available in a $50 pre-order for Arc 2, which got delayed to the end of 2024.
But after that, it's going to be sold on its own for the standard price of a game. But all that DLC you bought for the original one, none of that gets ported over. It doesn't seem like they're planning on giving a discount for that either. So you're going to have to eventually buy the first game again, and then all the DLC at $20 a pop, and I think there was four of them, again, for that you already have.
I can understand Zen doing this, because after 10 years, the tech has passed and the tables could be improved. But this is a fucking early access game that charged for DLC and early access, runs like shit, performs like shit. A lot of people are kind of pissed with the game. I mean, the sequel looks interesting because they're getting away from the survival crap and doing an actual narrative. But I don't care that Vin Diesel's in it, and the fact that it's delayed over a year, I don't care, and I'm not going to pay $50 to get a remastered version of a game I don't care about. So fuck them.
Yeah, I just more am upset for all the people who do like the game, because it does have a big following still for some reason. And basically they're being told, well, we're updating the game, so fuck you.
Yeah, and it will be on Game Pass, though. Hard. So.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. But PC players are going to have trouble playing this because most of the upgrades to it is going to be stuff that you're not really going to be able to see. And for console versions, you won't see at all because it's just really niche shit that needs a really good computer for. So it's like, that's kind of pointless. Just leave the original game the fuck alone. Like,
yeah,
it's bullshit. So that's upsetting. And that was one of the pieces of news. And the other one I have is Monster Energy has gotten in a lawsuit, or, well, taking another company to court because the company uses the word monster in the name of one of their games. It is Glowstick Entertainment, and they're suing them because they're making a game called Dark Deception, Monsters and Mortals. So Monster has decided, well, you're not allowed to use the word monster in anything because Monster Energy is a bunch of douchebags. And they've done this shit before. The original title of Immortals Phoenix Rising was
Gods and Monsters. Like
Monsters and, yeah. And finally, the head of this Glowstick Entertainment was like, yeah, no, we're just going to go to court over this because fuck you. and they said if they win all, I think it's if they win all the money that they're going to get is going to be given to any other dev who Monster tries to sue for this bullshit.
Yeah, Monster's a patent troll, and hopefully this indie dev wins it.
Yeah, I can't imagine that they won't, because just because your company
when I
is
see
called
a roguelite,
Monster Energy,
I don't think of energy drinks, so fucking shut up, Monster.
They also sue people over having that style of M, which I kind of understand.
Yeah, I can understand.
And they also
that,
go after places if they have green and black.
God.
Punch holes in drywall. Assholes in drywall. They should sue over that because that's who all of them
no,
are.
I said, what if they punch holes in drywall, not assholes in drywall? What the fuck?
I don't know.
Anyway, Game Pass. A lot of Game Pass news.
Assholes in drywall coming to Game Pass.
I'm proud of you, Aki. You did something.
Yay! Okay, I'm good now.
Do you want to start with the arrivals or departures for Game Pass?
Bad news first, always.
Bad news first. A bunch of games leaving Game Pass. A lot of them. We are getting rid of Life is Strange, True Colors, Moon Glow Bay, Rainbow Six Extraction, The Long Dark, The Rift Breaker, and Dungeon of N-blah-blah-blah, which I'll never say that. Yeah. You know that one, don't you, Aki? Nahulbeck or... Nalbeck.
If I saw it, I might be able to pronounce it. It's been a long time since I've looked at it, though.
Yeah, well, it's leaving Game Pass. And then Panzer Corps 2 on PC is leaving. And then temporarily, Quantum Break is leaving Game Pass due to licensing issues that Remedy is going to be renewing. But I guess they just didn't get it done in time to keep it on Game Pass. So,
and if I remember correctly, I think it's still on sale.
Yeah, for like $8, something like that.
Yeah,
$7.99,
which is technically, I think, the lowest price it's ever been.
Yeah, so pick it up.
Because usually $8. It's on sale for $10.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, get on that $2 discount, folks.
Yeah, I won that game, a physical copy of it forever ago. So
nice.
Did you ever play it?
No, I haven't played it yet.
Good job.
Ironically, I've played all that company. I've played Alan Wake and I've played Control, but I did not play that one. Bad. I know.
Jacob, why didn't you make that joke on the show instead of just in chat?
Because we had already moved on from what we were talking about.
Oh.
Yeah. It's, you know, you're trying to keep up with a brisk pace. It's all your fault.
I prefer things at a medium pace.
I prefer things slow.
No Adam Sandler fans for medium pace. Games joining Game Pass. Goat Sim returned to Game Pass.
Nice.
Iron Brigade not only returned to the store, but it joined Game Pass with the DLC.
Lots of people should have that game because it was free with Games with Gold fucking forever ago.
Now, so, if you missed, it's in Game Pass and it has the DLC with it. And then Loop Hero was a day one addition to Game Pass for launching on Xbox. Been on other platforms, finally made it over and launched right to Game Pass.
Well, when's Loop Hero about?
Like an RPG, like a minimalist style grindy RPG. It's from Devolver. I haven't played it yet, so I don't know much about it. I want to say we reviewed it a while ago, but I have a bad memory, so I don't know.
Yeah, I get that too.
Good shit. Next week, April 12th, Ghostwire Tokyo is debuting on Game Pass. I'm excited about that one. I've heard a lot of good about it, and
I'm good to super check it out. Excited. Oh, it's going to be awesome. Seeing all the monsters in it is just going to be so fucking cool. Yeah. Can't wait.
And then April 13th, NHL 23 is joining EA Play and Game Pass.
That's a game. It exists.
It sure is. Then April 18th, Minecraft Legends will be a day one launch direct to Game Pass. It'll also be on Switch and PlayStation if you have those platforms, but it'll be free to play on Game Pass if you have that. So,
yeah, that's a game, and it, I guess it had to exist, I guess.
It looks like it could be pretty good. Like tactical strategy.
Yeah, I'm not good at tactical strategy games, so they're not high on my list.
Well, Dungeons was good, so maybe Legends will be entertaining as well. But Lemnis Gate is getting delisted from digital storefronts on April 11th. The game will be unplayable on Steam, but will retain local versus modes on console.
That's a shame. I thought that it was doing good, because I only heard positive things about that game.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm sorry. What? Wait, it's being delisted, but what about the servers?
Local is still going to be available on consoles.
Yeah, local modes you could play on console. The game will be unplayable on Steam.
Okay. Does that affect achievements at all? Do you know?
I don't know. I don't know what the achievements are.
I'm pretty sure it reporting does, the news. You probably have to play in ranked lobbies and stuff would be my guess. So yeah, it'll probably affect some, but not all.
Yeah, Carnage says he thinks they're mostly online achievements. One or more achievements are scheduled for closure on July 11th. So that's when the servers are going offline. But it'll be delisted on April 11th.
I got way too many other games, unfortunately, to care about.
I don't, but I still don't care. No offense to the devs.
On the off chance that they're listening.
It's okay. No one listens. Devolver Digital has acquired Doinksoft, the guys behind Gato Roboto, Demon Throttle, and Gumbrella.
It would be funnier if they were just Doink the Clown video games and nothing else.
That wouldn't be funny at all.
I don't know about that. Okay. For once, I kind of agree with Jacob. That'd be pretty damn funny.
Anyway,
what's the word doink?
Damn it. Like, here I am, like, over, like, oh, shit. Like, was he, like, one of the wrestlers who did something? I don't remember. Oh, God. Like, did I just make, like, a wrestling
film? Did Doink kill his family? Shit. No, that was Benoit.
Yeah, no, I know that. But I was just like, oh, shit. Did, like, he do something, too? Like, nah,
I don't think so. I think he's passed away, though.
The original's dead. I know that.
Yeah.
I don't know much
Speaking
about
Speaking of, the last bit of news I have.
God, who died?
That's the worst fucking segue ever.
Well, it's either that or else we got a news story about clowns. So.
Oh, God, what a segue. Anyway, Klaus Tuber, the creator of Catan, passed away this week.
That's a shame.
Yeah, Settlers of Catan creator.
Lots of people like that game.
Yeah, I like it. It's a good one.
Thimber mentioning that the Final Fantasy Pixel Remasters got a release date on PlayStation and Switch, but it wasn't coming to Xbox, so I didn't give a fuck about it.
Fair enough.
Shitty to say, but if Square doesn't care about us, I don't care about them.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
When they start releasing shit on Xbox again, I'll start caring about Square Enix again. Shrug. Jacob, what news do you have?
All right. So, my news of the week. Well, you killed off one of mine. All right. So, cheaper Xbox expandable storage cards are on the way from Western Digital.
Cheaper in quote marks.
What's up?
I said cheaper in quote marks because it's not by much. It's like
$20, isn't it?
Yeah. instead of $199 or $179.
Yeah. So somewhat cheaper.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for the 4 terabyte card that costs like a mortgage payment.
Yeah, I don't friggin' know. Wait, did we talk about the ID at Xbox show or no?
No. What news from there did you want to talk about?
I don't know. Like, I mean, True Achievements had like a here's everything that got shown kind of thing.
It was just trailers of some upcoming games. Nothing really
land-breaking. Okay, well, yeah. Well, some of them I had never heard of. I mean, I knew about Coffee Talk episode 2, so I'm excited for that. But the trailer that I thought was totally fucking dope was the Explorator, where it's like a walking sim that's also a first-person shooter. And it's pretty much just like you're wandering around a jungle and like you have to like uncover the mysteries of this like ancient temple while also, not being killed by like dinosaurs and, you know, random jungle creatures and shit like that. But the cel shaded style just looks really dope. It like the first thing that I thought about was that it was like if somebody made a shooter set in like Adventure Time or Over the Garden Wall from Cartoon Network in like one of those universes. It kind of reminded me of that. But so I'm excited for when that finally releases. I don't think they gave it a release date though. Yeah, it doesn't. And then Cabaret looks pretty cool too. That's a visual novel.
Yeah, that one's out now.
So
I tried getting it. I didn't hear anything. Sorry in advance.
Damn it. But
90% of the people who were watching the stream for that ID at Xbox showcase wouldn't shut the fuck up about Silk Song. Hollow Knight Silk Song.
That's would.
All. It's fucking like, Silk Song. It was just Silk Song spam the entire show, the entire hour. And like,
yeah, that sounds about
they
right.
They wouldn't stop. They wouldn't shut up. Every other game that was shown, they're like, this isn't Silk Song. This is stupid. Show us Silk Song. It's like they never promised they were going to show Silk Song. You got your hopes up for nothing. You thought it was going to be there when they never said it would. And you look like fools because you're just spamming shit. So if you were in that chat and all you did was spam Silk Song, you suck.
Here, here.
Yay. Any other news?
Yes, I actually do have two other bits of news.
What you got?
So, the first is that the first image from Five Nights at Freddy's has been released. Blumhouse is going to be releasing it into movie theaters on October 27th. It's also going to premiere on Peacock at the same exact time. But yeah, it's just... All it is just like a photo of them standing outside of the place. Josh Hutcherson, Matthew Lillard.
You're the only person I've ever heard say Lillard.
Did I pronounce it incorrectly?
I've always heard it Lillard.
Lillard?
Matthew Lillard. Okay. I've never heard Lillard. Sounds like you're calling him fat. What's up, Lillard?
Lillard. It's like the weird, like 1920s, like comic strip. Lil Lard
and his buddy Sausage Fingers.
But you're really hoping that the OG folks are listening to the whole episode, aren't you?
No one listens to the whole episode. You're out of your mind.
Also, the animatronics are being done by Jim Henson's Creature Shop.
Really?
So that's pretty cool. Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. That makes me think this might actually be a decent film.
Well, no. It'll at least look nice, you know. So,
does it have any other value but looking nice?
One last bit of news. Street Fighter Movie Watch. A challenger appears. Legendary Entertainment, who is responsible for Godzilla and Kong, like we just talked about, they are going to be trying to tackle a Street Fighter movie, you know, this time around. Because Universal and Fox couldn't get it done right their times, so woo,
yay!
And that's all that they announced. It's in the works. That's literally all that they announced.
Apparently, according to Thimber, there's also Minecraft movie news update.
Oh shit! Right, I even talked about that with my kid today. Yeah. So, and I was thinking about that the other day too, because I was like, oh, wonder whatever happened with that, because I think Warner Brothers had the rights to it for friggin' forever. They just announced today that it's going to get the Minecraft movie is going to be released in 2025, and Jason Momoa is going to star in it, because of course he is.
Momoa.
Okay, I thought that's who he was talking about, but I wasn't sure because I know nothing about this movie. It's like, who the fuck is that?
MoMA. That'll be your name. Okay. So we've got Lil Lard, Sausage Fingers, and MoMA.
Oh, God.
I can't wait for the comic strip. I'm proud
or just pressed, but I'm one of them.
Oh, shit.
Oh, and also, reviews for the Mario movie have been all over the damn place.
Yeah, I've heard everything from it's amazing to it's the worst thing I've ever watched.
Yeah, it's literally all that, and now, like, there's this big campaign, like, of people online going, remember, guys, this movie's really aimed at six-year-olds. And it's like,
no,
okay, I mean, maybe, but at the same time, it also has the right to not suck.
Yeah.
I mean, so, I'm not gonna go see it this weekend, because that's, like, that's asking for COVID. but we're probably going to take the kids either next week or the week after that.
I liked Aki's timing on the cough. That's guaranteed COVID.
Yep. God damn it. I don't have COVID, I swear.
Probably. What else? What else, Jacob?
No, that's it.
Okay. Y'all ready for reviews then?
Sure.
Y'all ready for reviews? Wasn't funny the first time, and I did it anyway. First game to talk about tonight is The Last Worker, developed by Oifi and Wolf and Wood, published by Wired Productions, release March 30th. Why did I say May again? Release March 30th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $19.99. The Last Worker is an immersive narrative adventure centered around a lone worker's last stand in an increasingly automated world. Kurt works for the world's largest retailer and is forced to choose between capitalism or activism. Aki, tell us about Walmart, The Last Worker. The Last Worker.
it's more like Amazon, The Last Worker. But in this, you play as an extremely overweight older man on a mobility scooter, more or less, named Kurt. And he... basically works at an Amazon fulfillment package area. You go and you fetch item. You look at item, see if it's broken or if its information doesn't match what it's supposed to, and you put it in the right place. And that's what you do. That is your job. And you have done it for over 20 years. You are the last worker in this facility that has replaced all of its workers with robots, but by God, you're better than any robot, because you're a fat dude in a mobility scooter, damn it. And, things aren't exactly how they seem. You live inside the building where you work, actually down in the dump area of it, for reasons that I don't understand. Which is very toxic, so that's not good. You just every day you get on your little scooter and you do your best to get a high rank for the day so you don't get fired, which just means getting these packages where they belong and doing it fairly quickly. And one day, you know, a new robot shows up and starts talking to you about how they want to take down the company. And, you go with it, because the fuck else do you have to do? That's really what a lot of this game comes down to. Why the fuck not? and a lot of this is moving around on your mobility scooter. You have this little gun that you can use that you shoot at an item and it pulls the item up in like a tractor beam. And then you can pull it to you. You can push it away from you. And as you go through the game, you get more attachments for it. One of the first ones you get is, you know, if there's a damaged box, you can flip it to where you put a sticker on it that says damaged or whatnot. But later on, you get actual proper cool upgrades for it that aren't garbage. that you actually use to solve puzzles. And other than that, you're both working at the company to keep your job and working for what they call themselves the Resistance, who are anti Jeff Bezos here, and feel like this company needs to go down because they're destroying the world faster than it otherwise would be destroyed. It's really fun. It's fully voice acted, obviously. And what's really cool is in lots of the scenes, it's all done in first person. In lots of the scenes, there's also a mirror on the side of the mobility scooter, and you can see your character's face, and he actually, his mouth moves when it's supposed to when he's talking, which is really nice, just for that little bit of immersion. It's a really fun game. I thoroughly enjoyed my time with it. There's a whole bunch of comedy, usually at the expense of Hank or Kurt. Why did I want to call him Hank? I don't know why. Again, mostly because, he's an old guy. He doesn't have any friends because, again, he's the last worker in this building and he lives there. So he doesn't have any friends or anything. He's overweight. So lots of jokes are made typically at his expense. And it's funny because I'm a heartless human being and I'm okay with this. Yeah. I don't know if there's that much else to say about the game, actually. It's a very simplistic type of game.
Is it enjoyable, at least? Is it fun?
Very much so. I thought it was great fun. There's no collectibles to worry about. It's all very narrative heavy. So, if you don't jive with the story, you're probably not going to. But I think most people are going to be like, this is a good story.
Oh, well, it's $20. What's your verdict?
Oh, hell yes. I definitely think it's worth it.
Cool.
There are some, for achievement hunters, beware, there are some broken achievements currently.
Are they fixing them?
They said they're working on them over on Steam, so I assume they're also trying to get them fixed on Xbox as well. It would make sense.
I know Wired is usually pretty good about updating their games, so hopefully everything will be good.
Yeah, right now there's 3 achievements that I don't think anyone's gotten, and it's believed that 2 of them are glitched, and 1 is just hard to get because it's secret and no one has listed how they got it.
Weird.
Very.
Anyway, next game to talk about is Formula Retro Racing World Tour, developed and published by Repixelate. Released March 31st on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $19.99. Building on the success of the original retro racing hit, Formula Retro Racing World Tour introduces new tracks and car types for an additional level of depth. You'll race through iconic global locations, compete with other drivers, and try to beat your lap times. Do you have what it takes to master each racing line, hug every apex, and cross the checkered flag to victory? Jacob, did you lose? I'm guessing you lost.
Sometimes. Not all the time, believe it or not.
Yeah, boy.
Believe that.
No, there's a... Look at my achievements. It shows that I got first place on a few of them. Anyways, you can't actually unlock some of the tracks without, getting points and stuff. And so, this is one of those games where it's, get good, scrub. If you remember my previous review on Formula Retro Racing, I was not a fan of it. I thought the controls were clunky. I wasn't a fan of the graphics. It just failed to impress me. And this was also around the same time as the pandemic was starting up. And I was just like, why the hell is there no online multiplayer? Like, come on, guys. Like, we're all stuck in our houses. This is... when this one was announced, I was kind of hopeful that, some of the things that I was, nitpicking, I guess you would say, on the previous game would be fixed for this one. And I got to say, some of them actually are. And I was actually a bigger fan of this one than the previous one. So the controls, first off, they're no longer sluggish. Granted, some of the times I'm all over the place on the road. But driving the car is way easier. It's far more responsive. And I'm not losing races as often. Hooray. Like, you know, I'm actually making progress in some of them. And, you know, the game just looks fantastic. I mean, it's still very much in that retro Sega Daytona feel. But, you know, it just, it looks nicer. There's definitely some more polish to it. And with that, this game is obviously taking you on a world tour. So you're going to be going to various cities. There is it's supposed to be like the Indianapolis 500, and really it's just an oval NASCAR track, which honestly, that one is my worst track to date. Like, I cannot get past eighth place on that thing. It doesn't matter like what I do. But yeah, like there's that, there's Rio de Janeiro. There's supposed to be like an LA kind of city, but you go around to different, you know, all over the world, you know, London, Barcelona, all that kind of stuff. So anyway, like each of these tracks is different. As you go through, you get points. With the points, you have to meet a certain amount to unlock future tracks. And that's pretty much the game. I mean, like, there's five different varieties of cars that you can choose from, whether it's like trucks, regular stock cars, muscle cars, any of that kind of stuff. Although I don't think it really mattered which one I chose. I seem to do pretty much the same no matter what. But you know, who knows? Maybe it's just my driving style on them. But yeah. So my main gripe with this is still the same one that I had last time. There's no online multiplayer. Now, there is couch co-op, or not co-op, but, you know, couch multiplayer or local multiplayer. I didn't see where exactly it was offered in the game, so I don't know if I was just looking in the wrong place, but the Xbox website says it's there. So hooray for that, but I'm still not thrilled with the lack of online multiplayer. But honestly, other than that, like, I mean, it's a pretty simple game. Yeah. You know, as I said, they definitely put in more work on this to improve it from the previous one. And I was impressed with it, and I had a good time with it. So
cool. Well, it's $20. What's your verdict?
I'm not thrilled with the $20 price tag. If it was like 10 or 15, I'd be more okay with it, but I'm still a buy it, but you might want to wait for a sale.
All right, moving on. Next game is Terra Nil, developed by Free Lives, published by Devolver Digital, released March 28th on PC for $24.99. Terra Nil is an intricate environmental strategy game about terraforming a barren wasteland into a thriving, balanced ecosystem. Bring life back to a lifeless world by purifying soil, cleaning oceans, planting trees, and reintroducing wildlife, then leave without a trace. Our friend Andy Sperry covered this one, wrote in a review. This is what he's got to say. Experience nature in an entirely new way in Terra Nil, a game that focuses on restoring the environment from a barren wasteland to a vibrant ecosystem. With an ecological guidebook at your fingertips, turn lifeless landscapes into thriving ecosystems with the use of advanced machine placement and a little experimentation. The guidebook contains all the information you'll need in the game, description of biomes, plant, animal life, along with structured information on what to do next in your pursuit of restoration are all contained within the guide and available for help if ever needed. Different environments require different approaches. There are four main continents to be played and alternate versions to experience once the game is completed. Turn dead soil into thriving grasslands and forests in the temperate river valley, or clean polluted oceans and create coral reefs in the tropical desolate island. With procedurally generated maps, no two playthroughs will ever be the same. The terrain is unpredictable, challenging, and very engaging. Choose one of three difficulty settings to determine how easy or challenging your playthrough will be. The game nudges you towards what needs to be accomplished for the next phase of attack, which usually occurs over three main rounds. Some of the challenges include restoring water and plant life, increasing diversity of plants and climate structures, wildlife introduction, and machine recycling. Advanced machine technology turns the soil with toxin scrubbers. I can't read. And water pumps fill dry riverbeds. Over 48 machines help the player restore the environment based on the ecosystem that should be present. check and manipulate temperature and climate to change the best or to create the best conditions for plants and wildlife. Animals are determined by map and biome conditions. There are over 24 animals to search for, including bears, wolves, owls, sharks, narwhals, and exotic birds. Progress percentages are tracked and new information is recorded with the guidebook. Finally, once the tasks are all completed, move forward and leave no trace behind. Through careful strategy, machines are recycled and brought to an airship, ready to fly off and begin again on the next continent. The work is done and plants and animals are left to thrive on their own once again. This game is very engaging and very well crafted. Beautiful hand-painted environments and peaceful music make Terranil an incredible experience that allows you to appreciate your environments and the impact you've had on the once barren wasteland. I definitely recommend Terranil and appreciate the experience. I had fun playing this little amazing title by Free Lives and Devolver Digital. Also, Devolver only publishes winners, so do yourself a favor and pick this one up. So yeah, that one sounds like a buy it, huh?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah, it sounds like they enjoy it. Cool. So thank you, Andy, for sending that one in. And now it is time to clean things up because
we... Bye, Aki.
No. No, she's got one to talk about, too. Yeah, Aki has to keep it clean. Good luck, by the way. First game to talk about in our children's block tonight. That is so weird to say. My Little Pony, a maritime bay adventure developed by Melbot Studios, published by Outright Games. This one released back in May 2022 on all platforms for $39.99. Jacob, you covered this one originally a while back. Aki played it this time. Aki, what are your thoughts? You didn't? I thought you did play this one.
No, we never covered this one.
Did you play it?
Yeah, of course I played it.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, but we never covered it. This was like a weird one that never got offered up for review, and then ended up buying it from GameStop that one time. And then
Gave it
to my kids. It's like, oh, look what Uncle Joe got you.
Aww.
They're like, sweet. Oh, Uncle Joe, yay!
Yay!
Anyway, Aki, tell us about your time with My Little Pony, a maritime bay adventure.
All right. So, something I don't want to admit, but I guess I'm going to have to. I like My Little Pony, which
You don't say. Don't say.
What's wrong with
also,
that?
Also, I would just like to say, I caught myself before cussing.
Oh, come on, what about my personality screams, I like My Little Pony?
Every single facet.
Really?
Yeah, huh. you seem like you would be a.
Feeling you're gonna say something very offensive, so I'm just gonna cut you off now.
What's the term? No, like because there's a term like because bronies are guys. What's the girl one? Like what's?
I don't think there is a name.
No, there is one. It was in that documentary I watched. Ah, shoot.
You would watch a documentary about this.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Aki,
what is My Little Pony, a maritime bay? Jacob, stop. My Little Pony, a maritime bay adventure. What is it?
Okay. In this, you play as a pony. I legitimately have forgotten her name. I think it's Sunny, I believe. It's not a pony I'm personally familiar with because
it's from the new show. My kids were watching Friendship is Magic for like the longest time, and then
one I know.
Yeah, that's the only one I know because my kids watch it, and then they're like, oh, Netflix has this new one, and I'm like, oh, cool. So, is like, are all the normals in there? And they're like, no,
it's a Sunshine
Dewdrop
series.
Or something like that. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I think it was something like that. Today is just a celebratory day for everybody. All the different ponies have gotten together. The earth ponies, the unicorns, and the name of
equestrians?
Ponies? No.
Try to describe. Are you talking about the unicorns?
The flying ones, the Pegasi.
Each
one of these ponies is from a different place. And basically they're all coming together today for a celebration
Alicorn.
Sure.
I only remember that because my kids.
And they're all getting together just to have a celebratory day of everyone just being together and being awesome and being ponies. That's really what the day is, I guess. I don't really know.
That's all the celebrations are.
Yeah, pretty much. And some bad things are going down. First, you wake up. I guess you had a party the night before would be my guess. That was really good, because you don't know where you've placed any of your things or anything else.
I've been there.
So you have to, yeah. And then you have to go find your things, which is mostly just one bag for yourself and then some stuff for a friend of yours, because for some reason, a bridge is broke. I guess y'all partied a little too hard.
That's standard Philadelphia stuff right there.
I guess. And then, you know, then you go and you get into town and you have to solve all these little issues. Someone has been vandalizing things, and you, along with one of the cop ponies, have to solve the issue. And it's pretty cute. There are some collectibles you can grab.
How much time did you spend customizing your pony?
You can't customize your pony. Well,
yes, you can.
Technically, you kind of can.
Hats and jewelry.
Yep. Yes, I've spent maybe 5 minutes doing it because there's not a lot of choices, and you have to unlock the choices.
Jacob, how much time did you spend?
A good like 10-15 minutes.
Yeah, see there.
I kept putting mine in the floaty and the centurion, like Roman centurion helmet.
Nice.
Oh shoot. Nice. Oh, and I think I also put her in Wayfarer sunglasses. You know, complete the look.
Yeah, I left the sunglasses alone because I thought they all looked silly on her.
That's the point.
Yeah, I didn't like it though. I went with the very last items you unlock pretty much in all the categories once I unlocked them because they were really cool. But I'm not going to ruin what those are. You collect these star magic bits or something like that. There's, I think, 1900 of them, I believe is what it was in the game.
Yeah, but they're easy to find.
Oh, it's, yeah, they're real easy to find. Yeah,
it's not... This isn't going to be like the Paw Patrol movie game. Like these are not difficult to come by. So you should not have a hard time unlocking everything.
Yeah, it's very, very easy.
This is not the Dark Souls of My Little Pony games.
No, not at all.
I'm actually not a Dark
Souls. Some of the parts of it aren't easy.
My Little Dark Souls.
There are a couple points where I failed. To get like the highest rank in some of the mini games, because there's a bunch of different types of mini games in this. I guess I shouldn't say a bunch of different types. There's a few different types of them that have different versions within of that. Like there's a bunny wrangling, where you basically act like a sheepdog herding sheep, but instead you're herding bunnies, which was actually pretty fun. It was difficult for me until I figured out really how to do it right. And later on you get some other animals that you get to wrangle as well, and then it mixes the two animals, so there's three different versions there. There's also some where you have little races more or less, and you have to collect items throughout the race and things like that. None of them are particularly difficult because it gives you a lot of time for most of them, much more than you need. Providing you have motor skills. If your motor skills aren't halfway decent, I don't know how many times it's going to take you to do some of these. So for super young kids, I don't know if they have quite the motor skills for some of the races.
What kind of age range would you put this game in?
I don't know when kids get motor skills properly,
Sam started playing, my youngest, he started playing video games about two and a half. I started him off with Ink. Like, it's a simple platformer. And they could play it.
In my day, I played my ColecoVision when I was three.
Yeah. And I was going to say, like, my youngest is five, and they didn't have any problem playing.
That's what I was thinking, was probably around five, but I wasn't sure when motor skills came in, because it's been a long time since I was a child and I don't have my own. So if I had children, they'd all be dogs or ferrets, so that still wouldn't help.
It's like me and Kat. Jacob, what did you do in My Little Pony?
Uh, So, unfortunately, not much, because, you know, I fired up the game, and the thing is that I'm really used to my kids starting games and never finishing them, or if they do, they'll come back, like, 3 years after the fact, and then suddenly do nothing but play that game for, like, a month, and then they're just like, we're done with this game forever. And so, you know, I fired up My Little Pony, and I'm just like, okay, I'm going to have to finish like half of the game. But they finished the whole storyline. Like, and I was just like, I'm sorry, what? Like, wow. You guys never finish a storyline.
There probably wasn't much left to do at that point.
Well, no, I mean, you can still do all the various activities around town because like all the little mini games and stuff like that. But of course my kids were also sloppy about collecting all the little shards or whatever they're called.
And you gotta teach them better.
Yeah. Trust me.
There's so many customization options, and there's,
you know, how many years I've been telling my kids, pick up all the little Lego bits.
Get the collectibles.
Yeah, like, and they're just like, I don't care. And then they get upset that, like, you know, oh, I can't unlock anything. Yeah, because you didn't put in the time and effort. Like, you just expect your dad to fix all this stuff for you.
Just dump a bunch of real Legos around in the room and then tell them to pick up the Legos. And when they don't, just let them step on them. That'll teach them to pick them up.
Aki, I'm just going to go out on a limb and just say, you are never babysitting my kids. And
good.
Second, that's a really poorly thought out plan because that means I'm going to have to step in the Legos too. Unless, of course, that is what was part of your plan all along, which wouldn't surprise me. Yes,
it totally was. I totally didn't completely just blank on the fact that you exist.
Anyway,
Jacob's kids.
Anyway, My Little Pony, a Maritime Bay Adventure, is available for $39.99. What do the two of you think?
All right, well,
I'm all for it.
I was still trying to talk about my time with the game, man.
You kept going on tangents. You lost your time.
No. Yeah. All right. So anyway, so after you beat the game, you could still do all the various activities around the island. Which I thought was pretty cool, and I'm not gonna lie, like I was speed skating all over the place.
That's fun.
Yeah, it is fun. And then like trying out like the flying thing, which is really just like the vehicle mode from the Paw Patrol games, except it's with ponies and also better done this time. My only issue with the game is that there's no way to like restart the game once you've beaten it on your profile, I guess without deleting your save data, which I thought was kind of weird. And then the other thing is that clearly the devs have never tried roller skating on sand because otherwise they would realize that that's not a thing. But I guess, you know,
it's a magical pony. Magic, it's fine.
So who knows? Maybe roller skating is magic over in Equestria too. So
I don't know how long this will be how long it'll take children to beat this, but as an adult, I downloaded it, started it, and beat it all in the same night.
Yeah,
night.
I think True Achievement says it's like 2 to 4 hours. My kids put in like 6 hours of gameplay on it. So it's not a long slog. You can easily get your 1000K in case you're an achievement hunter.
Yeah, it was fun. I think it's worth it.
And it's on sale right now,
especially since it's for kids. Usually I wouldn't say yes to a $40 game that only takes a couple hours, but it's for children, so I'm for it.
Cool. Yes, it's for the kids. Yes. Hockey, your love of the children has always been noted so much on this show.
Hey, I don't usually review children's games, but I think they're worth buying because there's not a ton of them. And they're AKA, all kind of expensive.
You wanted a My Little Pony game, but you didn't want to spend $40 on it.
I didn't know how much it cost until today.
Anyway, final game to talk about tonight.
Hold on, we never said whether we'd buy it.
Aki just did.
Oh.
That was literally what that part was about.
I asked 5 minutes ago, and then you kept talking.
Yeah, because I'm talking.
Give a verdict.
Buy it.
Next game, final game to talk about is Paw Patrol, the movie Adventure City Calls, developed by Drakkar Studio, published by Outright Games, released back in August 21 for $39.99. Jacob, you covered this one a while back and didn't really enjoy it that much. You took a revisit at it. What did you think?
All right. So in case you don't feel like digging the old podcast episodes up about it, Paw Patrol Adventure City Calls is, I believe, the first time I've ever issued a retraction on my review, because the game came out like a week or two before the movie did. And so when I played it, I was just like, oh, okay, it's standard Paw Patrol, like whatever, blah, 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 blah. And then my kids and I saw the movie and I was just like, what? Like, that game did not follow anything from the movie. I mean, like, yeah, technically, like, some of the plot points were there, but, like, in the most, like, you know, general ways. Like, for instance, in the movie Chase, the police dog goes missing, and it's because he's been kidnapped or dognapped, whatever. In the game, it's because he's helping, like, some little girl in the Park Fisher basketball out of the water. And it's like, what? Like, no. So anyway, so with this revisit, I was going to see, you know, has anything changed? Has anything been made for the better? Because there were a couple of patches released for this game over the year. Thankfully, some of the stuff has been fixed. There were a few graphical issues, especially when, like, the pups were jumping. Like, they would do this, like, leaping animation at the start of a mission. And half the time, like, they got cut into the graphics. It was really weird, or they'd clip into them. That has been fixed. And also, the Pup-Pup Boogie minigame, which was the bane of my existence, when the game first launched, because it would just randomly tell me, oh, no, you missed that one. It's a let me backtrack this. Pup-Pup Boogie is essentially DDR with Paw Patrol. So anyways, the mini game would constantly tell me that my button presses weren't making it. Now they're working fine. So hooray for that. However, the game itself still has plenty of graphic and audio issues. There are plenty of cutscenes or, like, scenes in the game where the dogs are barking or talking. There's no audio that comes, like, and it's just okay. And then also, like, it's a year later and some of the graphics are still showing up as blurry in the game. Like, there'll be like these in-game billboards that'll just constantly like rotate and they're still showing up as blurry. There's electrical boxes that have like a warning signature that's just pixelated, like, just extremely. It's still not very well put together. And I'm not going to lie, the game compared to the previous Paw Patrol games, especially the Mighty Pups one, and I feel really weird being a 38-year-old man who has opinions on Paw Patrol games, but, like, with the amount of work that got put into Mighty Pups versus the amount of work that got put into the movie game, like, this should have been offered as, like, $20 DLC. Like, this should not have been a full game. It's far too... there's, like, no like, it doesn't encourage you to explore like the previous ones did. It's very linear. And it's just, like, honestly, like, just all around, it's just nowhere near as good as the other ones. This is, like, if it's on a sale and your kids are, like, absolutely huge Paw Patrol fans, then yeah, sure, get it. But honestly, like, I wouldn't recommend this one. I'm really not a fan of it still.
Nah. Oh, well, $40, that's your verdict shame on it.
If it's on sale and your kids are Paw Patrol fans, sure. Otherwise, no. I hope that if Outright makes a game for the next Paw Patrol movie, that, you know, some more Q&A love gets, or QA love gets added for this, because it needs it.
Yeah. Oh, well, that is it for this episode. We made it through another one. Big thanks.
Can I use my favorite word?
No, yet? No. Not until we're off the air. End of the show's got to stay clean.
Okay.
Just mute yourself. Aki and Jacob, thanks for being here, hanging out. Big, big, big thanks to Grant for coming on. Love having him here. And a massive thanks to Mel Kirk for coming on, chatting about pinball with us and everything Zen Studios. Check out Pinball FX on Steam next week and check out the new tables on all platforms on the 13th. There will be some free ones, so make sure to grab those. And we are going to end the show with a track from Danny Baranowski off of the Crypt of the NecroDancer soundtrack. I don't think this song is in the NecroDancer table, but hopefully in an update it will show up there because it's my favorite song from the from the game. So anyone have any final words to end the show?
That was a weird Southern drawl you attempted there.
And, what you gonna do? Oh, well, what you gonna do?
Go for the skill shot, it's a house ball.
House ball.
Ball squad. Ball squad. Shoot the green, lock 'em up. Jackpot. Mike is the simulator, Mel is the Zen. Joe with the milky voice, Stem is the Uber fan. Ball squad, ball squad. It's a ball squad.
There you go.